Welcome to Venturesome, the podcast about being fiercely ambitious, brave, and curious. I'm Rachel Esterline Perkins, and we're talking about how to get a step ahead in your career. This podcast is all about taking risks, overcoming uncertainty, and being creative in our lives and careers. Today, I'm bringing Venturesome listeners our first ever duo episode. In this episode, my friend Olivia Adams and I have a conversation about the first days, weeks, and months in a new job. Listen on to hear our advice on how to ensure your success when you're starting a new job or internship. And if you like this episode style, please let me know on social media or by emailing venturesomepodcast@gmail.com. Your first few weeks in a job are pivotal, and I brought with me today Olivia Adams, my friend and former colleague, to have a conversation about the things that you should do in your first couple of days, weeks, and months in a new job to ensure your success. So before we get started in our conversation and our first ever duo conversation episode on the Venturesome podcast, I want to give Olivia a chance to introduce herself.
Thanks for having me, Rachel. I'm really excited to join your podcast today to talk about starting a new job. But I've been working in public relations now for about 7 years. It's hard to believe how fast it goes. Right now, I am a communication specialist for a software company, and I do everything from writing press releases and content to handling media relations and project management, everything in between. No 2 days are the same. But that's a little bit about what I do.
Thank you. And I think you and I both bring some different perspectives to this conversation. So I have been in the field now for 11 years, and I've had a handful of jobs in different industries. I've helped onboard new employees and trained a lot of interns. And I know that you've helped a lot of new employees yourself. And a little over a year ago, you started a new job. So I think a lot of this will be fresh in your mind as well.
Yeah, I'm especially excited to share, you know, now it's a year in. I feel like for most jobs, it's you get your feet wet that first year you're learning and not only, you know, maybe learning new skills for the job, but also just learning about what you do.
Yeah. You know, before you even start on your first day, whether it's remote or in person, is there anything you think that you should do before your first day?
I always feel like starting a new job, it's like the first day of school. You know, you lay out your outfit the night before, make sure your lunch is packed. And honestly, I think for the first day, I usually don't bring a lunch because typically you go out with your new team or someone wants to take you out for lunch. So leading up to that first day of a job, it's always been different for me because I never take time off between starting new jobs. So usually it's shutting off the old job and using a weekend to kind of refresh for that first day. So I try and do something fun to kind of just celebrate starting a new job. So before I started the job I have now, I actually spent a day shopping, going to the movies with my boyfriend, going out to eat, having a celebratory dinner, just to kind of, you know, let go and refresh for the new week. And then, so that's kind of like a personal ritual I do. But professionally, I usually get into the mindset of starting fresh. I try to remind myself to be open to change because you're stepping into something completely new. So it's always just a good reminder to go in with an open mind. And I think that's really the big thing I do to prepare for that first day at a new job.
I think you're right that it's like the first day of school because I love to buy a fresh notebook. And, you know, it's like, what new ink pen am I going to take with me to work? I also remember before my first day when we started working together, I think I texted you and I was like, what's the dress code? Because every job is different. And, you know, I wasn't sure, should I wear a suit? I don't think I need to wear a suit. And I remember you telling me like, you know, just usually as long as you can throw a blazer over whatever you're wearing, that should be fine. And I'm somebody who usually packs a lunch or snacks just because, like, what if I don't get a chance to go out to lunch? What if I don't, you know where to go? For example, I remember in my very first internship, which was at an agency. I think it was my second internship, but I was sitting at my desk and like nobody was taking a lunch. So the culture really was everybody just eats lunch at their desk. And I didn't bring a lunch. And I was like, what do I do? You know, do I leave? And I was so young, I wasn't really sure how to handle that. Now I would be like, see you guys, I'm going to go get some food because I'm getting hangry. But I remember looking around, I'm like, it's lunchtime. Nobody's even eating yet. Like, who are these people? Are they human?
That brings up a really good point. I remember asking specifically, more around the dress code side, but starting this job, going to work at a software company, it's a little bit more casual, relaxed than maybe working in the agency setting, like when we were working together. And honestly, you go to the careers page and it says, we don't have a dress code. And I'm like, what does that mean? I'm so intrigued. So I actually did ask, I mean, like, what's the definition of business casual? And they're like, yep, just wear what's comfortable. Cute top and jeans is totally acceptable. I'm like, okay, that's great. And then you can kind of get a feel for it. I tend to dress just a little step above, because you never know, like, how casual is casual? But then, you know, a week after the job, you can get a feel for how people dress.
Yeah. And you don't want to show up wearing a full black formal suit if that is the culture there. So I think it's really important to feel that out. And I think it's totally okay to ask that question, especially if you're a new employee, new to the organization, even if you're an intern, you know, just ask, what's the dress code? What do people usually wear to the office? And I think, especially if you're an intern, you definitely want to dress up, even if it is more casual, because there have definitely been times where when I worked in the university, I would want to take an intern with me to, say, a meeting or a video shoot. And if they weren't dressed nice, you know, if I was taking them on a video shoot with, say, the president of the university, I couldn't take them with me. So it's really important to dress up to whatever that level is, so that way you have those opportunities, or else you could lose out on some really valuable opportunities.
That's a great reminder too, when you are going for those internships. When you're first building your career, you're building credibility, and it's balancing between being polished and professional, but also fitting into the culture. I try and keep in mind to be prepared for anything.
Yeah. And now with this work from home world, I have a blazer hanging up over on this little thing that I have on my wall that holds mail. You would be fair in thinking that I probably wear yoga pants almost every day. And even like right now, I have an electric blanket tied around my waist because I'm cold. So like now the dress code is very different, but I'm here for it. I like it. Okay, before you even walk in the door or sign in to Zoom on your first day, let's talk about the first couple days, maybe the first week or two. What do you think is most important for you to do?
So there's a couple things. The first that comes to mind is I like to be a sponge during that first week. Maybe it sounds a little cliche, but I try to be super present during that first week. So typically when I start a new job, I'm probably slow to respond to texts from friends and families because I am just totally in the zone. But I like to bring, I get, like you said, a new notebook and pen. I get my new stationery for the job. So I have my notebook ready and I just start taking notes. So whatever meetings I'm in, I'm just jotting down everything because there are new definitions, new terminology, just new processes. So I like to keep that notepad available. I think the big thing during that first week is, I know every company is different, but once you get through that initial orientation, like filling out all the paperwork and all that fun stuff, setting up your work email, I like to set up meetings with different departments throughout the organization. So whether it's the finance team or it's the IT or it's the sales department, meeting with people across the entire organization just to not only introduce yourself, but get to know a little bit about what they do. I was lucky that in the job I have now, they had already coordinated all that for me. So I had about, I don't know, 6 or 7 meetings lined up for those first 2 weeks just to meet with every department. And that was super helpful just to get to know the organization and make those connections. And then I would say the other piece of that is taking initiative to ask people out for lunch as well. I remember even when I, at my prior job, the culture was really, you know, kind of eat at your desk because we're so busy and on the go. But I was really curious to get to know my coworkers. So I took it upon myself to ask them out for lunch. And they said yes, even though we had to reschedule a couple of times, we made it work. I think it's really important to take that time outside of work to get to know who you're working with.
Yeah. And even if you can't get away to go out for lunch, I remember you and I, whenever we would be in the same office together, since we worked in different cities, it was tough, but we would try to even just sit with each other at the work table and eat our lunch while checking our emails, because sometimes that's what you have to do. I really love the points that you hit on, and my advice really follows suit. So the first and most important thing I think you do in your first couple weeks is listening and observing. So how do people handle things? How do they answer their phone? How does your boss like to get things? So I remember one of my first bosses, if I emailed him something, he would always print it out. And so I just learned over time that I could save him a step if I just printed it out. And sometimes you can ask those questions, but you can also learn a lot of that stuff just by watching your colleagues work. And I also am a huge note taker. You know, I always have a notebook in front of me. And if I'm in the office and I'm walking around to someone's desk, for example, or someone's office, a lot of times I have a notebook in my hand in case I need to jot something down. And I always appreciated it when my interns would have a notebook in their hand when they came in, because, you know, I don't want to have to necessarily repeat the directions for a project that I'm giving them. And sometimes they weren't expecting me to give them a project. I also think it's so critical to take really detailed notes and, like you said, be present in every single call, every single meeting. So my method of handling that is I have a Word document for every single client I work with. And I keep that same Word document for a full year. So it'll just say the client's name, 2021 call notes. And every time that client calls me, whether it's a scheduled call or if they just up and randomly call me, and I might have to open up my email and email the notes to myself and put them in later, but I keep everything in one document. And then I can quickly refer back to things when questions come up. But if you're new to a job and you don't necessarily know where your responsibilities lie, or you are kind of being onboarded to take on certain projects, if you're not paying attention and you're not taking notes, you either are going to miss out on an opportunity to take on that project, or say you're in a meeting and you're like, this isn't my job. Like, I'm not doing this. And then they say, oh, hey, why don't you take the lead on this? And you weren't taking notes. Now you have to go back to your supervisor or whoever's lead on that project and say, hey, like, I don't know what we really talked about because I wasn't paying attention. And it's so easy, especially when we have our laptops in front of us. And I sometimes am terrible at this too, where, you know, you're in a meeting and somebody's like talking about stuff that's not relevant. So you open up Facebook and or you're checking email or you're editing copy. And then you realize, you know, somebody calls on you and you're like, I don't know what's going on. And especially early on, you don't want to make that be your first impression.
It's so easy to multitask. And I think it's a really good practice to try and bring yourself present because, yeah, it is kind of that sinking feeling you get when you get distracted by an email pops up or you're editing something. And then they're like, did you catch that? And you're like, what? I think I did. Yep. Carry on.
Definitely. I think another key part of taking on a first job that a lot of people don't talk about is the discomfort in doing new things and the ambiguity that comes with a new job. Even if it's not a new role at the organization, you're new to it, they're new to you. And I had listened to this really great episode on Unlocking Us, which is Brené Brown's podcast, and she calls this FFTs. Have you heard of this?
I don't think so.
Okay. So it stands for fucking first times. And it's such a great episode because she talks about how much she hates being a beginner at things and how you're just like, I don't like this. I'm not good at this. I never want to do this again, you know? And I think that when you're trying new things at a new job, you might sometimes have that feeling where you're like, I'm terrible at this. And then you really need to sit back and remind yourself that you're not terrible at it. You're just new and they hired you for a reason. They know that it's going to take a couple months, even, you know, sometimes 8 months to a year, right? To like really learn something. I feel like I have some clients that it took me 8 to 12 months to figure out their language and like really what they did. And, you know, I would understand it on the surface and messaging levels, but like to really get to know them, it took a long time. And so I'll link to the episode in the blog post and in the show notes, but I highly recommend it because you definitely have these moments where you're like, I don't know what I'm doing. And am I bad at this? And you know, you're not. And I think you need to remind yourself of that.
That's a fantastic reminder. And I definitely can relate to that. And I think that comes into actually something else I think about when starting a new job. It's, you know, that openness to being bad at something at first, because it's completely new and you've never done it before. But it's also this reminder of you have nothing to prove. You have to remember that this company hired you because they love you. They loved your resume. They like your personality. They think you're a good fit for the job. And so I think it's important to remind yourself that you were hired to do this job, you're learning, and you don't have to prove your worth or work as hard as possible to impress your new boss because they already like you. Now it's, you know, learn, and you can build credibility by, you know, taking notes, listening, asking those thoughtful questions, following through. Those are the ways you build trust. So I think it's a good reminder to be bad at starting something new. That's okay. Let go of any perfectionist tendencies. And
perfectionist tendencies would be our band name, yeah, I think, if yeah. You and I had a band.
Yes, I love that. Or the perfectionists.
That's why we're friends. So another point that I think you bring up is the vulnerability of being honest, not just with yourself, but with your colleagues and your boss. And I think one of the mistakes that people sometimes make is they want to impress so bad that they aren't entirely truthful about their situation, which could be, hey, do you know what I mean by this? And they say yes when they don't. Or it could be, hey, can you take this on? And they don't have bandwidth and they say yes and either half-ass job it, they might miss a deadline. And that just affects your credibility. So I think being really honest with your supervisor, your colleagues, I think that builds a lot of respect. Asking questions, but asking smart questions. If you can Google the question, do that first. Yes. Because, you know, if you ask me something like, how many characters is a tweet? You know, like that's something you very easily could figure out yourself just by using a Google search. So I think asking smart questions and maybe just making a list of questions, or like you said, terminology that maybe you don't understand and you could quickly Google it. And then if you're not quite sure, then it's a good time to clarify it.
Yes. Yeah, that brings up such a good point.
And going to your coworkers is really great because they are the ones who are working side by side with you and have been probably in your position more recently. And so a lot of times your coworkers can be, I want to say, a better resource than your boss on some topics because they are the ones every day in the trenches. And so they can answer, you know, how would you handle this? And I still to this day have those conversations with my coworkers.
And I had another thought that came back to the honesty and vulnerability. That is such an important reminder. I think for me too, as someone, you know, being a new professional, you know, 7 years ago starting out, now I've been in it a little bit. I think the hardest challenge I had to work through was being honest about, well, just being open and honest with my coworkers about how I'm feeling. I used to really hide my stress at work. And then I started to realize that I think my coworkers could maybe pick up on if I'm feeling overwhelmed and would start asking me. And it was really easy for me to be like, nope, I'm good. I've got it all under control. And I've got it under control until 5 p.m. And then you get home and you're just like, you release all of the stress. But I learned over time, it's a lot easier and it saves a lot of headaches if you speak up right away. If you are feeling overwhelmed or you have too much on your plate or they're giving you additional tasks that, yeah, you can't say yes to everything. It's okay to be really open and explain like, hey, I have these things going on and can you help me prioritize, or just having those open conversations, because I think your manager and coworkers will really appreciate it. You being open and honest up front than hiding it and then getting really stressed out and overwhelmed and burning out in the long term.
Yeah, definitely. I also would add, and this isn't something that happens necessarily right away, except for I think in our case, like we came in or I came into the job already friends with you, but it's really important to develop relationships. And I think it's definitely good to develop friendships at work because we became good friends before, during, and after working together. But then you have somebody who is your person who you can go to when you're like, I just need 5 minutes to freak out and vent, you know? So I always think of Grey's Anatomy, like you're the Meredith to my Christina, like, because I think yes. I am probably the snarkier one of the two of us. It's so helpful to have a person, and it can be somebody outside of your current workplace too, because it takes time to build those relationships, but having a person you can go to A, be like, this is really screwed up, right? Like, I made this mistake. What do I do? How do I handle this? Or I made this mistake and here's what I did. And I just need to like wallow for 5 minutes and then let's talk and have fun. And so, you know, I think that is really important to have that outlet, not only being honest with your coworkers when you're like, oh, I'm feeling really overwhelmed right now, but also just having a person that you're comfortable going to inside or outside of the organization to have that sounding board. We still do that for each other. Like sometimes we're like, can we talk about this for 5 minutes just to see what you think? And, you know, that's so valuable throughout your career.
Yes, it's really helpful because I think part of it is it's, you know, you have your own values and approaches to how you work and who you are as a professional. And it's being able to adapt to different environments, and every place you'll work in your life will do it differently. So it's always good to have that sounding board just to brainstorm, or maybe it is having someone that you can, you know, chat through a situation like, how can I approach this? Or yeah, just having, it's always nice to just have someone to talk to and vent with. So.
All right, Olivia, I am so glad that you joined me for this conversation. It's always fun when you and I get to riff on an issue, and I definitely want to have you back to do that again. So if any venturesome listeners want to send in ideas for Olivia and I or other guests on the show, Olivia, I have one final question for you, and that is, what bold advice would you give to your younger self?
I would tell myself to be open to change. I think when I first graduated college and was ready to launch my career, I was so set on having this 5-year plan. And I think as what I had dreamed for myself and what I wanted right after college or my dream career I had, you know, my past started looking a little different. It didn't exactly shake out the way I wanted it to, but that was totally okay because I was gaining new experiences along the way. So I try not to use cliches, but sometimes they're the best way to describe. I've always lived by trust the journey and trust the process. We've learned anything in the last year that I could have never predicted a global pandemic was going to happen in 2020 when I was planning my 10-year plan. So the fact that, you know, this has happened, it just goes to show you never know what opportunity will come your way and what door will open. And it's just being open to trying something new, even if it's something you never thought you'd try. I think even you and me, Rachel, we never thought we'd ever get into the world of politics and advocacy communications, but here we are. It was a job that brought us together. And so I think that's what I would tell my younger self is just trust the process. Everything's going to be okay.
Definitely. So in my first job, I remember somebody giving me a calendar and it had quotes, and there was one quote that I cut out and I had hanging in my office up till I think even at my last job, I had it hanging up. I don't know what box it's in. I'm sure it's somewhere within this house, But it said, have faith in yourself and the future, or something along those lines. And it was always a reminder to myself when I felt like I wasn't doing enough or I wasn't achieving enough and I wasn't far enough in my career, that everything was going to be okay. And that I just needed to have faith in myself that I was going to be able to get to where I needed to go. So I think that is really, really good advice. I think it's hard for especially certain personality types to embrace that because we're planners. So my freshman year of college, I had a spreadsheet and it outlined every single class I was going to take, what semesters I was going to take them. And my boyfriend at the time, now husband, was like looking at it and he's like, are you kidding me? You have like all these years planned out and like what happens after, you know, the end of the spreadsheet. And I still have the spreadsheet saved in a file because I feel like it just like represents who I am. I also would add, it's not just politics and advocacy communications that brought us together. It was tacos.
Yes. If it wasn't for that taco date, I don't know where we would be.
Yeah, I know. So just a final story. So everybody can know how Olivia and I became friends. I sent her a text. I had called her probably a year and a half before about a job opportunity that was in a similar industry she previously had worked in. And I just wanted to pick her brain. We were like connected on Twitter and LinkedIn before that. And we had a similar job in our very far back past that we had worked for the same company. That's probably why we had connected. And I randomly sent her a text because I was living in Grand Rapids and I had not many friends there. I mean, I probably knew nobody because it was still in the fall when I had just moved there. And I was like, I don't know if you remember me, but we talked a while back. It's a really nice day. And I was wondering if you wanted to get dinner on a patio because it's, you know, Michigan fall and we're going to be losing this nice weather. And thankfully you said, yeah, like I know this great place. Let's go to Donkey on Wealthy Street. And it became my favorite restaurant in Grand Rapids, I think. And we have had many donkey dates since then. And hopefully post pandemic, we'll be able to have some more.
Yes. I think now that I think about almost every meal we've shared has involved tacos, even your famous taco nights at your place. So I think it's a tradition.
That's true. Like, I don't know if we've ever had a meal that didn't, other than the occasional sushi at the office, but usually our whole relationship has spanned tacos. Maybe we should open a taco truck together.
Probably. Tacos and PR. No, let's leave out the PR. Let's just do tacos.
Definitely. Well, great. Well, thank you, Olivia. I really appreciate you coming on today.
This was a lot of fun, and I hope that I can come back and we can chat. This was great.
You will be a regular guest.
Awesome.
Thanks for listening to VentureSum. I'd love to hear from you about the strategies you're using to get a step ahead or topics you'd like to hear me cover on the podcast. You can email me at venturesomepodcast@gmail.com or reach out on Twitter @venturesomepod.